Well, in just a couple days, we all will be gathering with our families, with our friends to celebrate Thanksgiving. And my hope, of course, today is that the message will be a help and an encouragement. So, thank you for opening your Bibles, and thank you for your attentiveness to the truth of God's Word today. I'm going to ask you to please open them up with me to the Gospel of Luke, and today it will be Luke chapter 17, please. And Luke chapter 17 may be a somewhat familiar story to you, and it's a blessing and a blessed story to say the least. So would you find with me the 12th verse? That would be Luke 17, and look with me at this 12th verse. The Bible says this, "And he, as he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood far off. And they lifted up their voices, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priests. It came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." No, there are just 14 lepers in the Bible that we know of that were healed. Just 14. There may have been thousands, but we only know of 14 who were healed. There's no doubt that it was a terrible disease to be healed from, this business of leprosy. But the story here in Luke goes beyond the healing and beyond the miracle. And I want you to think with me today about something beyond the miracle and something beyond the healing of these lepers on that day. And of course, that is Thanksgiving. Now, don't you think Thanksgiving should be a normal thing for you to do? Shouldn't it be normal? Shouldn't it be normal for you to just say thank you when somebody does something for you? But it's not always true. We sometimes forget to say thank you. Many times forget to say thank you. And there are some people who never say thank you. How do you feel when you do something for someone and they don't reciprocate with these words, thank you? How do you feel? You probably don't like it as much when you don't hear a thanks. Now, think about the event and think about the thanks with me today. Now, it should be a normal thing for us to say thank you, but it isn't. But it is a normal thing for Jesus to say thank you. And if he is living in you, obviously, he is always thankful. So maybe we should learn from Jesus that we ought always to be thankful. Now, I need to be reminded of it, and so I hope that what I have today to say today will be a reminder to you that there is such a thing as gratitude exercise. Father, I thank you again for your Son. Thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, that you are the gentle God. Thank you that you are the good God, that you are the great God, that you are the merciful God. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of the rain. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of our home, our family, our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our jobs, our homes. We thank you, Father, for all of these constant blessings that you've showered upon us. And I ask you, Lord, this morning that by your Spirit you will instruct us. Help us, Father, to go away from here different because of what you say in your word, and willing not to just read it and hear it, but to do it. We ask for help, Lord, this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Now, no doubt you've heard this term here, the Eucharist. You've heard the term, the Eucharist. I'm sure you have. It's generally a reference to the Lord's table. And generally, you'll see these lines. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." But it's actually two Greek words, believe it or not. When we think of the word Eucharist, we almost always go there. But it's interesting that the Bible doesn't always go there. It does, but not always. Look what the Bible says in verse 16 in your Bible. You see this little line here? Giving him thanks. You see that? That is the word Eucharisteo. See it there? Eucharisteo. So, what does the word Eucharist actually mean? Think with me about the simple fact that the Bible says the word Eucharisteo. When you say the word Eucharist, you are saying thank. Look at carefully what it says there. Giving him thanks. That's what it means. Giving thanks. Now, maybe that's new to you. Maybe you're not aware of that fact, but I just want you to know that just saying thank you, you recognize that God's grace is evident. Think about it, how marvelous it is every time you say thank you, that when we have anything that comes into our lives, God showered that grace upon us, so we're just saying thank you for his grace. See, I think one of the reasons at least why we have the Lord's Supper is because we should come gratefully that Christ has gone to the cross. We should come before him because he came for us. So when we think about his grace and we say thank you for your grace, we're saying Eucharist. Here's what the scripture says. Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Can you imagine being in the crowd that day, seeing these lepers miraculously healed, and Jesus carries on this conversation with the one man? He says, "Where are the 9? There are not found to give God glory except this stranger." And he said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you whole." I would say that this was a grateful man, and I'm thinking you're going to probably agree with me. But don't you think that the Lord expects you to say thank you when he does something on your behalf? Wouldn't you think that God expects a word of thanks from you and from me? How about a word of appreciation and gratitude? Well, here's what's on my heart today. I want to say something to you about exercise. Because many of you, maybe not most, but some of you exercise. Some of you exercise quite religiously. So I want to talk with you about this idea of thanksgiving as an exercise. But I want to tell you how to do it. That's what's on my heart today. What do you have that didn't come from God? What do you have that didn't come from God? What do you have that didn't come from God? Better, do you have anything that didn't come from him? You see, folks, every single thing you have came from him to you. I'm going to prove it to you in the Bible. I'm saying something, but I'm going to prove it to you in the Bible. Let me give you this simple example. Do you remember the fellow that was born blind? Here's the story in Luke 18. Came to pass, as he was come near to Jerusalem, he came nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the commotion, hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what this meant. And they told him, "It's Jesus of Nazareth who is passing by." And he cried, saying, "Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his tongue, hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon him." And Jesus stood, and he commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What will you that I shall do unto you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole." Immediately, he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. I want to say to you this morning something about exercising your thanksgiving. You cannot exercise thanksgiving unless you realize you are a receiver. So let's please set thanksgiving aside for just a moment and think about things that you have received. Would you do that with me for just a moment? Would you just exercise yourself in being a receiver for these few moments this morning? Listen, everything that you have, you received. I'm going to say that probably 10 times in the next few minutes, because I want you all to understand that if you're not a receiver, you're not going to get to the Thanksgiving stage in your experience. Listen closely. Everything that you have received, starting with salvation. "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." John answered, and he said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Now, you all know you cannot be saved by good works. You can't be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. You can't be saved by baptism. You can't be saved by confirmation. You can't be saved by doing a thing. You can be saved by receiving something. You can be saved by receiving a gift from God. So all the way back in the very beginning of your experience with God, it has to be a reception. Listen carefully to the Bible. "What hast thou that thou didst not receive?" Okay, I'm going to ask you the question. God's asking you the question. What do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? Says the Bible. Here's Paul. To open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Would you please with me this morning do some exercise? Would you please with me exercise yourself in receptivity? Stop thanksgiving for just a moment. Set it on the table and just think about the stuff that you have received. And I mean the stuff. The stuff means everything. You don't have anything that you didn't receive. By the way, receiving is always a choice, just like thanksgiving. It's a choice to exercise. For those of you who exercise, you know sometimes how difficult it is to get in your car and go to the gym. You know how difficult it is to make yourself do it. It's just, you have to do something. You have to do something. You have to do something. I'm telling you to do something this morning. Before you can say thank you, you need to exercise receptivity. See yourself as a receiver. Please, please see yourself as a receiver. The Bible tells us, of course. By the way, you can change from being a complainer into a thanksgiving person. All right? You can change from being a complainer to becoming a thankful person by one thing. being a receiver. Think carefully about what's going on in your life. The Bible tells us how marvelous it is that everyone who is saved, everyone who is saved, has received the gift of God. You don't have anything that you didn't receive. And salvation says, I am a receiver. I am a receiver. Everything in my life I've received. By the way, do you know anybody that's grateful? Oh, I know you think you're grateful. But you're grateful by steps and by, you know, fits and starts. You're not perfectly grateful. None of us are. But when you see somebody who is grateful and you recognize their gratefulness, I will guarantee you that they see themselves as a receiver. What am I after this morning? What am I pleading for this morning? What am I shooting for? What's on my heart today? That you would be a receiver according to what God says in the book. Please be a receiver. Practice receiving this week. Oh, I know every preacher is going to tell you, practice being thankful. I'm not going to say not to be thankful, but I'm going to tell you what you need to do to become a thankful person, and that is to be a receiver. I think the problem is awareness. I think the problem is that if you are a complainer, you're not aware that you're a receiver. I think if you're a complainer, you're probably not aware of the simplicity of having received every single thing in your life. You don't see yourself as a receiver, please do not call yourself a thankful soul. Receiving is an exercise, and the Bible tells us, of course, it starts with salvation. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you're not a receiver. If you've never received the gift of God, which is eternal life, you're not a receiver. Scripture tells us that if you have been forgiven of your sins, you are a receiver. Can you not agree with me this morning that if you're a Christian, you're a receiver? Now, there are plenty of people in your life that probably are not grateful. Don't worry about their gratefulness. Get the gospel to them, and then when they receive the gospel, life changes on the inside, and now you're a receiver, so now you can develop the skill of being a thankful soul. Everything you have as a gift. By the way, how many of you can breathe? Oh, everybody can breathe. How many of you can hear? Oh, everybody can hear. How many of you can see? You mean everybody can see? How many of you can speak? How many of you can walk? Have you ever thought of yourself as a receiver of all those things? John answered and said, a man can receive nothing. Nothing? What does your Bible say? Does nothing mean anything? Or does it mean nothing? A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. James chapter 1 and verse number 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see the source of your life, of your stuff, of your health, of your wealth, of your home, of your family, of everything, your source is God. So are you a receiver? You see, the source is outside of you. The source is outside of you. You have been given all of these glorious blessings. Your eyesight, your mind, your face, your body, your time, your income, your home, your job, your family, all of these things. The source is God. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. You can have nothing that you did not receive from heaven. Even, folks, when you're dealing with things that you don't want to deal with, even when you're dealing with things you don't, with people that you don't like, all of the difficult things in your life are also, listen closely, given to you by God. Even those difficult things. Even the things that you don't like. Suppose you lost your job today. Would you say that that was God-given? Suppose you lost your health today. Would you say that was God-given? I'm going to tell you, folks, you need to apply the Bible to you. Don't worry about your neighbor just a moment. Don't worry about the person sitting next to you this moment. See yourself between you and God as a receiver first. Does anybody remember how Job's wife responded when Job had some big things come in his life? Do you remember the story in the Bible? You know how Job's wife responded when Job had all these problems? Anybody remember how Job's wife responded? You know what Job's wife said to Job when he was going through? He had boils all over his body. They had catastrophe in their experience. And you know what his wife said to him? Job, be grateful. Nope. You know what Job's wife said to him? I know you're never going to forget this verse in the Bible for the rest of your life, are you? Job's wife said, curse God and die. Wow. Anybody here know what Job said? Does anybody know what Job said to his wife after his wife said, curse God and die? Anybody know? But he said to her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What? Here it is. Listen closely. Shall we not receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive adversity? Does anybody here think that you can be grateful if you're not a receiver? Listen, folks, you're short-circuiting the process if you think you can be grateful and not be a receiver. When you become a receiver, you will learn to become a grateful person. Whether it's being healed of blindness, whether it's being healed of leprosy, whether it's the experience of forgiveness, your everyday life in this world, you are a receiver, and God even allows adversity. I am still going to be a receiver because I know that God has full charge of my life. So would you please exercise today, tomorrow, and every day being a receiver. Number two, say it. Say it. Here's what the Bible says. He fell down on his face at his feet. Look what the Bible says. Giving him thanks. You know, first we're receivers. We're responders. Think about it. We respond to all the gifts the Lord sends to us. And how do we respond? We say, thank you. By the way, sometimes what the Bible doesn't say is as important as what it does say. What do we know about the other 9 lepers? We know that 1 of the 10 said thank you. What do we know about the other ones? Isn't it at least an implication that many of the things that God allows in our lives, maybe even most of the time, maybe even most of us are not grateful, even though we have been, in many cases, given way more than we could possibly imagine? Let's say you do something for somebody at work. What happens? When you did it for them at work, they receive it. How do you know they received it? They come over to your office, they come over to your cubicle, and what do they say? Thank you. They're perfectly related. Now, you may not know this man, Dr. Robert Emmons, professor of psychology, University of California at Davis. This man is described as the world's expert on gratefulness. Can you imagine having that for a title? One of his books is called Thanks. Here's Dr. Emmons. In a series of studies, my colleagues and I have helped people systematically cultivate gratitude, usually by keeping a gratitude journal, in which they regularly record the things for which they are grateful. Gratitude journals and other gratitude practices often seem so simple and basic. In our studies, we often have people keep gratitude journals for 3 weeks, and yet the results are overwhelming. We have studied more than 1,000 people from the ages of 8 to 80 and found that people who practice gratitude consistently report a host of benefits. So, by the way, his work is called The Science of Gratitude because he's done studies, so now it's science. Do you have any idea what maybe one or two of the things are that come into your life when you get to the stage where you are a grateful person? Less bothered by aches and pains, lower blood pressure, more exercise, taking care of your health. You sleep longer, you feel more refreshed when you wake up, you have higher levels of positive emotions, you feel more alert, more alive, more awake, there's more joy, more pleasure, more optimism, more happiness, more helpful, more generous, more compassionate, more forgiving, more outgoing, you feel less lonely and less isolated. Now, there's a lot of things there. I know that there's... This is what he says. He says, I soon discovered that gratitude is a deeper, more complex phenomenon that plays a critical role in our human happiness. Gratitude is literally one of the few things that can measurably change people's lives. So I'm going to say to you simply, say, I'm thankful. No. Say, I am thankful to God who gives me all things. Here's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be, watch this, received with thanksgiving. You see, folks, this is really the attitude of gratitude. It starts when you become a receiver. You're exercising your receptivity. You see, gratitude is really one thing, and that is appreciation. And I'm thinking, it's appreciation to someone for what they have done for you. Now, I was thinking about this, and you may think I'm a little bit strange for thinking so, but just deal with it, okay? I was thinking, is it possible to be grateful and not recognize who it is that gives everything to you? For example, can you express gratefulness to the universe? To an impersonal force? Somebody said that one mark of an atheist is that he or she will not give thanks to God. Well, there's no doubt the atheist would say, the reason I don't thank God is because I don't believe in God. So someone asked the question, Do you think an atheist never says thank you? I'd say, who's he thanking? What if an atheist were in a car accident? In a car that he was driving, nearly loses his life, but walks away. See the bend in the road there? See the bend in the road? What would the atheist say when he says thanks? The guy that wrecked this car right here was an atheist. His name is Hemant. H-E-M-A-N-T. Hemant is his name. And he says, so I was standing there waiting for them to come over and flip my car and tow it. And I was waiting for my friend to come pick me up so that I could help him with his project. Yes, I still helped him out. But he bought me dinner with dessert, so it was all good. And I realized this could have been much worse, and I took time to count my blessings and evaluate the good things. I had my seatbelt on. If I hadn't, I might have gotten half thrown out the window or otherwise seriously battered or even killed. The seatbelt did a great job to keep all that from happening. So I want to be grateful to the seatbelt designers and makers. So what if the atheist is a pilot? While he's flying, he runs out of fuel and he safely lands the plane. Atheist. His name is Mark Rose, Alaskan bush pilot. One day he flew some hunters to the upper part of a large river on the Arctic. But on his return flight, carrying only one passenger, several things went wrong. First, herds of caribou had moved in, covering his first and his second choices for a landing spot. Then he began to run low on fuel. So he called ahead for a weather check at a small airport near called Zipiku on the Baldwin Peninsula. Come on in, he said. The weather's fine. This is an FAA flight service operator. So he decided to take the chance that his fuel would hold out. But then weather conditions changed dramatically. I ran into a snowstorm at night and I couldn't see the terrain, so I had to follow the gray ribbon of the river below. In those days, before satellite weather imaging, the weatherman had given him some very bad advice. All my options were evaporating as fast as I could fly. Now, Mark had had several friends, fellow pilots, who perished in the very extremely same circumstances he was in. And this is what he said. There must be a way out. I don't want to die. He'd been flying on empty for 30 minutes. Then the engine started to miss. I was just waiting for silence and have to crash in the dark. But his mind turned to his very last option, God. He'd never prayed before, but in desperation, he lifted up a prayer. He says, if there's a God, he says, I need your help right now. Immediately on praying that prayer, the plane popped right out of the snowstorm. And he said, before me were these beautiful lights of Kozipyu. It was as if they might have been the lights of heaven. There's only one problem. He still had to fly another 20 miles over the sound. And this is a huge sound near the north of the Bering Sea. And he said, this is a breath holder. When he did finally land at the Kozipyu airport, his entire belief of non-belief that there is no God was completely changed. He immediately became thankful. He said, there was no reason why my plane should have traveled that distance with no fuel. And he's convinced today that God added an hour of fuel to his tanks to save his life. And he said, when I landed, I was a different person. He said, I wasn't a Christian, but I was now a believer in God. And he thought about his grandma, the only Christian in his family, and he said to himself, so grandma is right. There must be someone or something out there. But his stubbornness was still not ready to receive Christ as his Savior. Then he had another brush with death. A helicopter crashed, and it was completely flattened the seat that he was in, and he walked away. And then one day, he missed a flight. Some of the lead contractors of the Alaskan pipeline were due to a schedule conflict. He missed the flight. Everybody on that plane died. So later, on a flight to Fairbanks on another Bush aircraft, he began to think about his life. Somebody gave him a Bible. He began reading the Bible, and he began to hear the story of Jesus, and he loved the story of Jesus. And the man who was a believer, who was saved by gas that came from who knows? Only from God. He became a believer in Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, life is better if you develop an attitude of gratitude. I'm telling you that if you learn to be a receiver, you will become grateful. But you also need to say it. We know the Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and his death, burial, and resurrection, the two of the most amazing things in history, Christ's death and his resurrection, he provided a way for you to be saved. So as you prepare for Thanksgiving, would you please first make sure that you receive the free gift of eternal life? This is the sinner's prayer. I know I am a sinner. I ask your forgiveness for all my sins. I believe on your Son today as the one who paid for all my sins. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life. That is the sinner's prayer. And then the Christian's prayer. Lord, thank you for all that you have brought into my life. Your word has shown me that I am a receiver. Teach me to know you better and to walk with you as a grateful child. Lord, we do thank you again that your word is true. Thank you, Lord, that it is more than true. It is truth. There's not just true things in this book, Lord. It is the truth. It's the whole truth. It's nothing but the truth. And we say thank you for the Bible. We thank you for your Son, who said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins. If there's one here that has never repented and put their trust in Christ, Lord, that you might convict them, that this would be the day that they would believe on Christ and receive the free gift of eternal life. And then for the children of God that are here today, Lord, you know our hearts. We come, Father, asking that you will enable us today, say, from this day forward, I'll be a receiver. And then being a receiver, Lord, I'll be grateful. And I'll say thank you for every single thing you bring my way. I pray this in Christ's wonderful name.